Chapter 25. Hypotheses. The 8-year program of intensive surveillance using equipment and PhD scientists makes the Utah Ranch arguably one of the most closely studied anomaly hotspots in history. Putting the results of this investigation into a proper context requires a considerable broadening of the picture, however. The cruel truth of the matter is that the wide sweep of events and anomalies experienced by the Gormans and by NID's investigators does not fit into any of the well-known subject areas that traditionally define anomalies research. Rather, the ranch experiences appear to overlap all of them. Some of the events seem to reek of poltergeist activity. Some appeared to be paranormal in nature. Some exhibited behavior reminiscent of UFO-like objects, and there was a smattering of cryptozoology-like events thrown into the mix. Were UFOs flying over the Utah ranch, or was the ranch haunted? And according to local lore, sometime in the 1970s, after a series of unexplained happenings on the property, the ranch was even visited by a strange individual wearing a black suit and driving a brand new black Cadillac with tinted windows, an event that is reminiscent of the so-called Men in Black episodes. Brand new Cadillacs were a rarity in the Uinta Basin in the 1970s and remain so today. In short, it is very difficult to encompass all of the events reported at the ranch into a single tidy discipline. This is no semantic discussion because there is considerable mutual suspicion and even hostility among the groups who study UFOs and those who research mystery animals and those who study hauntings and poltergeist activity. Which particular research data from the Utah ranch does one have to discard in order to fit the rest into a tidy box? Or should we just ignore all of the tidy boxes? This kind of discussion becomes surreal and even ludicrous when one considers that most of mainstream science does not recognize the legitimacy of any of these research areas. In the future, an adventurous sociologist might consider writing a paper that examines the caste system in anomalies research. The nuts and bolts UFO research people regard the psychosocial UFO researchers with disdain. UFO researchers in general regard the cryptozoologists with contempt. Cryptozoologists who embrace the possibility of a paranormal connection to Bigfoot sightings are generally viewed with derision because of the prevailing view that Sasquatch is an undiscovered primate species, not an interdimensional playmate of alien beings. Likewise, the paranormal researchers view the UFO researchers with disdain, while the ghost hunters keep their distance from everybody else. And all of this hostility and contempt is a vain and so far unsuccessful attempt to earn a small measure of respect and acceptance, and maybe funding, from mainstream science, a lofty but unlikely goal. So how does one go about modeling the range of more than 100 phenomena that occurred on the ranch between 1994 and 2004? The events the Gormans and the NID's investigative team experienced were mostly isolated incidents that were transient, opaque to interpretation, and rarely or never repeated. Many of them represented very physical intrusions, including the killing and mutilation of a young calf, the transfer of 4 2,000-pound bulls into a small trailer, scoop marks removing a few hundred pounds of soil, the destruction of 3 video cameras, injuries to the Gormans and to neighbors, and much more. Other incidents involved events that were invisible to the human eye, such as the creature crawling through the hole in August 1997 and the black object seen by the physicist in June 1997, both of which were detected in the infrared region of the spectrum, but not the visible. Tom Gorman witnessed an intense splashing as a result of some thing or some creature running at full speed along the canal on the ranch, but the actual creature that gave rise to the splashing was invisible to him. This happened in daylight as Tom sat on his horse only a few yards away. The predator incident of early 1996 seemed to indicate a creature or an object that was barely visible but mostly camouflaged, while in April 1997, something invisible drove or ran through the herd of grazing cattle and parted them like the Red Sea. Whatever accomplished this conjuring trick appeared to profoundly affect a compass from a distance but was otherwise invisible. An assortment of red orbs, blue orbs, and white orbs was observed. They appeared to be light forms, but they certainly had physical effects. The blue orbs acted like well-oiled rheostats by dimming the lights in the home as they flew past the windows. The same blue orbs were closely associated with the deaths of Gorman's three favorite dogs, presumably by incineration. Both Ellen and Tom were overcome by a fear that transcended everything in their previous experience as a blue orb hovered over them and seemingly stimulated the fight-or-flight reflex in their brains. The red orbs directly caused the death, injury, and abortion of several cattle in August 1997. The shupas, as they flew through the cattle, seemed to be associated with the mutilation and disappearance of both Gorman-owned and NIDS-owned livestock. NIDS's attempts to measure this range of bizarre activity were unsuccessful, if success is defined by data published in a scientific journal, or even data that could be presented to a panel of mainstream scientists. The weird animals observed in late 1994 and in March 1997 felt and smelled like real physical animals, but their response to bullets fired from high-powered rifles was unquestionably different from that of any creatures known to science. I personally witnessed the shooting of a large cat-like animal from a tree. I was 40 to 50 yards away and am certain the bullet hit its target. I was just a few yards away when an unknown dog-like animal weighing an estimated 400 pounds was pierced by bullets fired by an experienced marksman. Yet no body and no blood were found after both of these incidents. The only physical evidence was a single claw mark left in the snow. The saga of the bulletproof wolf is likewise difficult to interpret. In short, after several years of Gorman family trauma and a focused NIDS investigation, we managed to obtain very little physical evidence of anomalous phenomena, at least no physical evidence that could be considered as conclusive proof of anything. This was in spite of hundreds of days of human monitoring and several years of camera surveillance. The plethora of tantalizingly short-lived phenomena gives rise to a simple question. The witnesses were exposed to a variety of apparently unconnected incidents, many of which were difficult to explain, but all of which raised more questions than answers. The central question is, did all of this varied activity on the ranch originate from the same source? Or was the ranch a Grand Central Station where multiple phenomena intersected, all totally unrelated? There are several hypotheses that have traditionally been used to explain anomalous phenomena, particularly of the unidentified flying object variety, of which the ranch certainly had its fair share. We will briefly examine each of these hypotheses in turn. Hoax. Did the Gormans make it up? Could they have hoaxed the whole thing? It's true that NIDS investigators took the Gormans at their word for those events that occurred prior to 1996. Skeptics might argue that the family made it all up, perhaps because they wanted to extricate themselves from a financial disaster. We mention this possibility solely in the interests of thoroughness. First of all, and this is an admittedly subjective assessment, the Gormans are rock-solid, firmly grounded, honest people. There is no hint in their background of anything shady or questionable. The kids were excellent students, the parents were happily married, and the purchase of the ranch represented the culmination of a lifelong dream. The onslaught of bizarre activity did eventually take a toll on the family's reputation, but in light of what transpired, this isn't entirely unexpected. Tom Gorman did not invent the long-standing reputation of the ranch. He didn't even know about it until it so abruptly intruded into the life of his family. He obviously could not have manufactured the stories told by the Utes. Besides, many people outside the Gorman family, including neighbors, law enforcement personnel, reporters, and assorted visitors, witnessed the incidents that occurred prior to the arrival of NIDS. And dozens of the most disturbing incidents were personally witnessed and documented by NIDS scientists and researchers. The Gormans did not, and could not, manufacture them. Did the Gormans crave media attention? None of them had the slightest interest in talking with the media or attracting attention in any way. By all accounts, they tried to cope with the inexplicable activity on their own terms and were embarrassed even to discuss it privately with others in the community. Only once did Tom Gorman talk to local reporters as a last resort, and then only reluctantly, hoping that someone might see the story and offer some kind of help. Someone did. NIDS. In spite of everything that happened, Tom Gorman did not want to surrender his dream, and he departed the ranch with extreme reluctance. Although the family has moved to another state and has started a new life, we know that Tom still harbors a gnawing curiosity about what really happened during his years on that accursed patch of land. Today, years after they moved out of Utah, the Gormans don't grant any interviews and don't want their new neighbors to know about what happened. In short, though it is possible to rule out any individual incident as a hoax, especially those in which NIDS was not involved, it is highly unlikely that all of the strange events at the ranch were somehow manufactured by the family. Delusions. The scientific community usually rationalizes eyewitness reports of anomalous phenomena by assuming that the witnesses are operating from a delusional framework. Because of the popularity of this explanation among scientists, NIDS took it very seriously and spent a lot of time examining possible psychiatric explanations for the events that its investigators had witnessed. We reviewed the literature on stress-induced fugue states, on paraphrenia, and on the folie à deux phenomenon, as well as the vast literature on the interplay among hallucinations, psychopathology, and anomalous experiences. We found the paraphrenia hypothesis particularly worthy of examination. Note that we used the term paraphrenia as a catch-all for a multitude of non-organic psychoses, which is the basic European definition of the term, rather than the U.S. definition of late-onset schizophrenia. An individual can be paraphrenic in a narrow slice of life while maintaining high function in the remainder of his or her life. Thus, by definition, paraphrenic perception on the ranch would be very difficult to spot even by an objective observer. In fact, any differences between normal observation and slightly abnormal processing of information on the part of scientific observers might have been too subtle to catch. But suggestions that we conduct a battery of psychological tests, including Myers-Briggs type indicator, Minnesota multiphasic personality inventory, indices of suggestibility, fantasy proneness, and more, on all NIDS field personnel was never implemented. NIDS carefully investigated the wide variety of eyewitnesses to the incidents at the ranch and interviewed neighbors and locals who also experienced very similar events. Although in addition to psychological profiling, multiple discussions took place on the need to monitor stress hormones and other blood chemistry profiles of all researchers on the ranch, the initiative never went beyond the discussion phase. Such data might have contributed to supporting or eliminating the fugue hypothesis. Nevertheless, we found no common thread that might point to an underlying psychopathology among the various witnesses from different locations and backgrounds. It is unlikely that fugue states, paraphrenic delusion, or groupthink were involved in all of the occurrences, although isolated episodes are difficult to refute on these grounds, particularly those in which only a single individual visually perceived and reported an event while a nearby colleague could see nothing. Nature. Could a natural phenomenon be responsible for the events? Could the presence of either a seismic or electromagnetic or an environmental variable have induced consistent hallucinations in the human brain and altered the perceptions of both the Gormans and the NIDS investigators? NIDS spent a lot of time investigating and testing this hypothesis. The best-known theory of environmental variables affecting human perception and giving rise to anomalous phenomena is the tectonic strain theory, TST, proposed by Michael Persinger, John Dare, and others. These researchers have published widely on an alleged geographical and temporal relationship between mild tectonic or seismic stress and reports of anomalous aerial phenomena, including, but not limited to, earthquake lights. The TST holds that electromagnetic energy released from seismic stress sometimes manifests as light, the so-called earthquake lights, and also may interact with the human brain, perhaps as VLF, very low frequency, or ULF, ultra-low frequency, radiation to cause hallucinations, particularly in the temporal lobe. The former direct effect of earthquake lights has been seen and reported in conjunction with and in the vicinity of seismic activity, but the latter theory of an effect on the brain is little more than informed speculation. Persinger and Dare have invoked the TST to explain the long history of UFO activity in the Uinta Basin. Therefore, the events at the Utah Ranch provided an excellent opportunity to test the TST. NIDS attempted to correlate the timing and locations of seismic activity using both United States Geological Survey and Utah State University seismic databases in a 300-kilometer radius of the ranch over a 10-year period with events reported by both the Gormans and NIDS investigators, but we found no such temporal or geographical correlations. We also looked at a number of other possible environmental variables, such as the possibility of ingested hallucinogens. But we found no correlation with local drinking water, since in most cases, NIDS researchers consumed only bottled water. A close study of the flora on the property also failed to reveal an abundance of plants known to contain psychoactive substances. In the event that hallucinogens may have been windborne, we examined local wind direction data for a period of 10 years and found no correlation with the timing of reports of anomalous events at the ranch. Finally, we mapped magnetic field anomalies using published aeromagnetic surveys, as well as taking dozens of field measurements of magnetic field flux on the ranch ourselves, not to mention gravitational and other incongruities around the Uinta Basin. But all of these efforts failed to correlate with the events observed on the ranch. Advanced terrestrial civilization. This hypothesis would have us believe that sometime in human history, maybe during the biblical era, during the Middle Ages, or even just prior to the Nazi era, an isolated group of humans gained access to advanced technology and have controlled world human affairs for their own ends ever since. To cover their activities, these humans are said to engage in deceptive simulations to persuade people that benign extraterrestrials are visiting Earth. Their presence on the Utah ranch would imply a covert program of unknown purpose, possibly a tiny but inscrutable part of a larger scheme fitting their overall global agenda. But if they are humans, they would still think mostly like us and make mistakes like us. Some puzzling lapses on the part of the phenomenon, including several instances when Tom Gorman was apparently able to hide on the property while a bright light searched for him, lend weight to such a hypothesis. One anecdote in particular deserves elaboration. Gorman was gathering hay one late summer evening in 1995. He noticed a bright light that appeared to be watching him while hovering above the ridge. He saw such objects often and was accustomed to being watched in this manner. For whatever reason, on this particular evening, Gorman grew impatient, threw down his pitchfork, and ran in the direction of the bright object. His reaction seemed to catch the light by surprise. The object darted down out of sight behind the ridge. Gorman quickly seized the opportunity and dove behind a nearby hay bale and burrowed out of sight. Then he waited. Sure enough, within a few minutes, the brightly lit object flew low over the field and began flying back and forth. Gorman sensed it was looking for him, but could not find him. After several minutes of quartering the area, the object flew toward the ridge, and Gorman climbed out from his hiding place and began shouting and taunting the object. Gorman said it blinked several times on and off, and then flew away. The incident left Gorman feeling elated because, psychologically, he knew he had won a small battle in this long war. He had succeeded in making a fool out of the probe or drone or whatever the bright light represented. Gorman thought he had also exposed the fallibility of their sensing system. The actions of the probe as it flew around the field at low altitude appeared to indicate it was not sophisticated enough to spot Gorman as he hid in the hay bale. Only much later did Gorman consider the possibility that the object knew exactly where he was hiding, but had merely been toying with him. Regardless, for a time, this incident convinced Gorman that these intruders, human or otherwise, were not omnipotent. Extraterrestrials. The best known, but not necessarily the most credible, model for multiple anomalous phenomena is that extraterrestrials from a distant planet have been, and still are, visiting planet Earth and, for some unknown reason, the ranch, as well as the surrounding Uinta Basin, for decades. But it is very difficult to conceive of an agenda for a group of extraterrestrial visitors choosing such a remote and out-of-the-way location. In the standard model of the ET hypothesis, the aliens are flying nuts-and-bolts spacecraft and interact with their surroundings in relatively understandable ways. The testability of the ET hypothesis lies in accumulating sufficiently robust and repeatable data. Overall, the events at the ranch yielded insufficient data to support or eliminate this hypothesis. However, Some of the events on or near the Utah Ranch very much fit the standard description of UFOs. We recognize that UFOs and ETs are in no way synonymous. For example, within a couple of weeks of selling the property to NIDS, Tom and Ellen saw a silver-colored, disc-shaped object hovering over the ridge. The object, which was 20 to 30 feet in diameter and apparently metallic, brilliantly reflected the midday sun. As the Gormans drove onto the property, the object moved quickly from the ridge and then hovered directly over the ranch. Without warning, the silver disc disappeared in a bright flash of light. The Gormans felt unnaturally elated by the episode. This exhilaration appeared quite out of place given the extreme stress that the family had been under since arriving on the ranch. The silver disc they saw very much fits the classic description of an unidentified flying object as reported by thousands of people worldwide. Another example of a classic UFO sighting occurred on November 13, 1996 at 1 a.m. when a colleague and I witnessed a silent, extremely fast-moving object coming from the north and rapidly executing a perfect loop over the command and control center before returning north. Again, the rapid speed, perfect maneuverability, and eerie silence fit the descriptions of a typical UFO, which the public tends to view as synonymous with extraterrestrials. But these sightings of nuts and bolts craft constitute a distinct minority of the reported events when measured against the total spectrum of weirdness on the property. Could the various orbs have been unmanned extraterrestrial probes? Some of the more daring members of the SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, community, have predicted that if intelligent life from somewhere else had begun to explore the cosmos, it would do so by launching small, smart probes that could report back over the vast interstellar distances. This strategy would lessen the obvious costs of organic beings having to make the arduous exploratory trip across interstellar space. Thus, one prediction from University of Toronto Professor Emeritus Alan Tuff is that if Earth is or has been visited by ET, we should see some evidence of such small, smart probes. The ability of the blue orbs to negotiate skillfully through the branches of a tree on the ranch, to dexterously dodge the snarling jaws of dogs, often by mere inches, to inflict unspeakable fear on both Tom and Ellen Gorman, all suggest an advanced technology and intelligence. Were the blue orbs examples of small, smart probes? NIDS was actually able to test a version of this extraterrestrial probe hypothesis. In the 1990s, aerospace engineer T. Roy Dutton published a predictive model based on thousands of global sightings of anomalous aerial phenomena over a period of 50 years. Dutton proposed that the data was most consistent with orbiting unmanned, presumably, extraterrestrial surveillance craft, which, on a predictable basis, released smaller probes that entered Earth's atmosphere. He believes that the entry into or exit from Earth's atmosphere of what he called small scout ships is responsible for the so-called UFOs seen by thousands of people around the world. What we found most interesting about Dutton's work was that he claimed to be able to specifically predict from latitude and longitude coordinates anywhere on the planet the timing of the appearance of such anomalous aerial phenomena. Naturally, NIDS considered the Utah Ranch a perfect location to test Dutton's predictions. But human and camera surveillance deployed specifically to monitor at the precise times predicted by Dutton, plus or minus 12 hours, failed to detect any evidence whatsoever of anomalous activity on the ranch or in the airspace above. NIDS also attempted to acquire real-time spectra of the mysterious flying lights. We deployed an extremely efficient, custom-made, portable spectrometer on scores of occasions in order to capture spectrographic data and came up empty-handed on this front as well. NIDS participated in multiple expensive forays into the analysis of purported extraterrestrial artifacts and even alleged extraterrestrial biological tissue, but without exception, the results of our analyses yielded only terrestrial signatures. In fairness, we should point out that the many attempts made in the past to analyze physical objects or artifacts said to come from UFOs yielded not a single piece of evidence of extraterrestrial origin either. All artifacts, pieces of metal, or other objects from purported anomalous origins have yielded uniformly terrestrial signatures after being subjected to metallurgical, chemical, physical, biological, or other analysis. This includes the analysis of isotope ratios and metals from unusual sources, all of which yielded nothing but terrestrial signatures. To our knowledge, not a single piece of metal or artifact acquired in nearly 60 years of research has survived scrutiny and is still regarded as genuinely anomalous. Ancient astronauts. A version of the extraterrestrial hypothesis holds that alien interest in Earth is not new, but that, in fact, colonizing ETs or gods have been on Earth, the Moon, Mars, or somewhere close by for thousands of years and have routinely interacted with humans since time immemorial. This hypothesis holds that the ETs may be responsible for the Bible, for the ancient legends of the gods in multiple cultures, for building some of the ancient monuments, etc. This scenario may be consistent with the concept of angels and demons from the Bible and other religious beliefs. Whether these beings are angelic or demon-like ultimately depends on belief. Quite aside from such considerations, there is no physical data to support this version of the ET hypothesis either.